the stars are just gorgeous, gorgeous out there in the middle of nowhere here in, you know, land in Texas out in the boonies. And it's amazing. My mom, you know, she just said this is a wild ride, and I just took off little pieces from that night and just made it, you know, a song about life is a wild ride and spending it and having a good time with family and friends while we can here. And yeah, that's what it's about.
Each Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Ooh, make a better each day now, baby. Ooh, better in every way.
Madeline Victoria's debut single, He Only Loves Me on the Dance Floor, reached number one on the National Country AM/FM charts and won an Academy Award for Best Country Song. She wrote and performed the song, and two others we'll be talking about with Madeline right now. I'm here with Madeline Victoria. How are you today, Madeline?
Hi, Bruce. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm just ducky. Whatever that means, that's what my grandmother used to say that. I never did understand it.
But
yeah, so great to have you. Your music is impeccable. What got you started?
Yeah, so, well, I've been performing, singing since I was very young, about 5 years old. I have a lot of influence from my family, actually, my mom's side of my family, and a little bit of my dad's side, too, but more of my mom's side. My uncles, they all sing so amazing and play and even songwrite. So since I was a little girl, they've been they all saw that I had the knack for performing and wanting to sing in front of everybody, and I wasn't afraid to do it. First of all, because I guess a lot of them didn't do it professionally just because they were a little more shy, but they saw that I wasn't, so they really, you know, encouraged me, supported me, and ever since I was a little girl, just pushing me towards that in a good way. And I picked up my first guitar around 14, 15 years old, like officially learning all the chords, and started songwriting around that same time. And, you know, it was just something I've always loved to do. And it was just everything overall in general, singing, performing, songwriting, you know, and the advice that I would hear from people, you know, it's not really necessarily people, but I did hear an interview once of the Eagles that someone told them that they wanted to, you know, make it big. They need to songwrite their own songs and, you know, and perform them. So I heard that on the radio when I was a lot younger with my dad. We were listening to him, and I thought, you know, that's what I need to do too. So that's what I've been doing ever since. And I formed my first band officially when I was a senior in high school. And from there, again, it's been nonstop ever since. I've been booking myself up until this day and playing around my region and slowly but surely, you know, getting more and more gigs and writing more and more songs and getting more, you know, I write my own songs, but I do have, you know, more people are starting to co-write with me and getting more into the industry like that. And I love it. It's been amazing.
So you faced the fear and just went for it. It's one thing to perform, but to write stuff, and it gets pretty personal sometimes. You know, what's that like? You're really putting yourself out for criticism. You've got to be tough.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I feel like I go through a process in my mind, like, okay, is this good enough to really show people, you know? I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, it's all that, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like riding a horse. You know, it's a little scary, but you do it anyway. And that's the way I see it. But I have my brother. I've only one brother, but he's like my musical partner in crime, and he gives me the opinions that I probably don't like to hear. So he helps me through that process as well. Okay, change that, or don't do that, or, you know, now he's starting to songwrite with me even more, and I love it. I love, you know, we're brother and sister, but we may fight a little, you know, just like any normal brother and sister.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it helps when it comes to the songwriting, because, like, he, you know, he really can be critical with my music, but it's all in good fun and good heart, and at the end of the day, he also wants me to release, you know, the good stuff. We have good opinions, the same opinions when it comes to songwriting, and and whatnot. So I really am blessed to have that, you know, with him there.
You do a song that you wrote called "He Only Loves Me on the Dance Floor." And just listening through your stuff, that was the one that really caught my ear. And you wrote that. So is that based on a true experience? I've got a feeling that it is.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is half, you know, somewhat. It's funny how sometimes I feel, you know, when I write, it could be experiences that I'm going through at the actual moment, or maybe later, way later, I'm thinking about something that will remind me that I went through and I start writing about that. Or sometimes I even write about something that hasn't even happened to me yet, and then it happens, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is the reason why I wrote this song then, because it's so relatable.
The Nostradamus of songwriting. That's great.
Yeah. And so this song particularly just started off with me being influenced by going out dancing, the dance halls here in Texas, and, you know, just seeing the love stories that go on the dance floor. And that's where the kind of idea birthed from that. At the time I was dating somebody, and he, you know, we'd love to go out dancing all the time. And later I realize he did only love me on the dance floor. So that's why I say that now, that it just came, you know, full circle now. And the song is what it is.
It seems to have a metaphorical transfer over to you. You only love me when I'm making money, or you only love me when I'm looking good or feeling good.
Like if you can't love me at my best, then, you know, or if you can't love me at my worst, you can't love me at my best.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Him.
Yeah, awesome good. Song. Who were your first influences? What records were you listening to and stuff? I see there's a picture of you looking at a George Strait album, a vinyl album, too.
Mm-hmm. That is my own vinyl album. I've had that one for a little while. But, you know, definitely George Strait was one of the artists I listened to growing up. And then I was born in 1990, so, you know, 90s baby. I listened to a lot of Patti Loveless and Brooks and Dunn and Eddie Rabbit. I love also Alan Jackson, you know, my favorite.
These are old guys.
Go ahead.
These are old guys.
Yeah, they yeah.
I'm doing the math here. I got a calculator. Let me see. 1990. You're 27.
Yes.
Pretty good.
I am. I'll be 28 later on in the year, but
good. That's a good following number after 27.
It should be, right? But
yeah, you can, don't skip. Yeah, stay young.
And also Ronnie Millsap, a big influence. Vince Gill, you know, all the 90s, even going back into the day of traditional country, I listened to a lot of Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash is my favorite. Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard. So much of the Roots influence. I feel like, okay, you know, I'm in modern day, you know, obviously time, and I'm going to write the way I write, but I want my influences to be from the roots of country music. So I feed myself with all that.
That's beautiful. I speak to a lot of people from different places in the world, and I George Strait keeps popping up. I talked to a rock band in England about 2 months ago.
Wow.
And one of them had been to Nashville and just to come and visit and stuff. He called it going on a holiday. We call it taking a vacation or a road trip or something.
Oh, yes.
Holiday. It was a holiday. And from there, I said, well, what American stuff do you listen to? He said, George Strait. His band doesn't sound anything like George Strait.
That is amazing.
It just blew me away. And he knew all about George Strait. And wow. You have a recording of Amarillo by Morning, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. It's I was so surprised and honored that all the views it's getting.
Yeah, it's a really good version. Have you ever ridden bareback bronc or anything? Because that's the song. He's a rodeo rider in this song. Again, yes. It's metaphorical.
No,
so.
I have. I guess so, but no, I love rodeos. I was a rodeo queen, you know, back years back when I was in high school.
I'm honored to have you.
You know, ride every now and then, but not bareback.
So you don't ride bulls unless it's in a tavern or something.
Yeah, it's mechanical.
Yeah,
mechanical.
I've never even done that. No. I understand the bull try to kill you after it bucks you off, but the horses just run away.
Yes, yeah, they could be extreme.
You'll be looking for eight when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind.
I think
I got the lyrics right there, didn't I? I don't know.
And you know, it's funny. Yeah, and that wasn't even one of his number one hits. I believe it only reached either number five or six on the charts when it was released, but I feel it's his most iconic song, you know.
Oh, it's definitely a classic. He has so many. I think it's timing, though, when different songs come out. I haven't ever been able to correlate why a song that's incredibly good doesn't do really well, and then something that's not so great does. And I don't know. I think it's kind of a crapshoot, as you know.
Yes, definitely.
Wild Ride. That's a cool song, kind of an up-tempo.
Yeah, that one's also could be about, rodeo or something.
I know, as long as we're riding horses, let's dive into that one.
Yes, definitely. I like to talk about this song because I wrote it when I was with my family. The idea came when I was with my family. We were out, you know, having a good time at night. We were, you know, having a couple drinks and barbecuing. And, next thing you know, it's 2 a.m., and my uncle Joe is saying, let's go out to my beer lease at 2 a.m., you know, because he's little, you know, maybe a little intoxicated, maybe not. Can I say that on the air?
Okay. He's ripped. All right. Whatever.
No. And he's like, let's go to the deer lease. And, you know, this is me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my uncle, my cousins, you know, and my favorite people to party with.
Sure.
And, we took off to the deer lease at that, you know, super early, but he had a point, you know, mind that he just, you know, when we get there and turns off all the, like, you know, the lights of the truck, and it's a wild ride, my mom says. It's a wild ride as soon as we get there. And we look up, and the stars are just gorgeous, gorgeous out there in the middle of nowhere here in, you know, land in Texas, out in the boonies. And it's amazing. My mom, you know, she just said, this is a wild ride. And I just took off little pieces from that night and just made it, you know, a song about life is a wild ride and spending it and having a good time with family, friends while we can here. And that's what it's about.
That's awesome. So you have like starlight and headlights and three sheets to the wind. Yeah, what could be better than that? What could go wrong there? I don't know. Awesome. It's a great song. I love the solos. I think you've got some great musicians.
Oh yeah. I was so excited to have you know, I do have, you know, now I guess I can talk about that, my band and whatnot, and the studio musicians I had. See, these guys that came into the studio for me, they're musicians from other, you know, more, I would say they're well known bands in Texas, and they're touring a lot more than I am. And but the fact that they want to be on my record, and specifically the guitar solo on that one, and Wild Ride, and all of them, even He Only Loves Me on the Dance Floor, is a gentleman named Paul Eason. and I love him. He's a big influence, actually, for me as well. His songwriting, his own music. He has a couple of records out right now, and he's a guitar player for another musician here in Texas called Kevin Fowler. And Kevin Fowler has been around for a very long time, and I've opened up shows for Kevin Fowler, and that's how I met Paul Easton. I met him, you know, backstage and, you know, doing shows with him and telling him I want to record someday. You know, I was a lot younger, and then I'm finally I'm in the studio, and he comes in, and he's looking forward to, you know, he always tells me he's looking forward to recording more with me. And so that's pretty cool. I see other when other musicians that are doing a lot more than I feel like I am and my goals are, and they want to be involved in my music and telling me, you know, and he even agreed to do a duet in the near future with me and, you know, release it in his little circle of people that he has, his fans. It's really, really amazing to have that. And, you know, going down to my live band, I love those guys too. I have many different musicians that play for me. But, you know, I don't have anything set right now with each one, but for a lot of them to be willing to play with me live and even the studio is amazing. I just have so many options when when the time comes. So
that's great. You're amazing. Popular. You must be fun to work with. That's a key thing, is fun to be around. I think that pays off in a whole lot of things.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. Like I already tell you, tell me about Hold On.
Oh yes, definitely. I actually wrote this one pretty quickly. Sometimes, you know, as songwriters know, whatever, I'm sure you know and heard of, you know, it could take forever to write just one song, and has, like, even with anything, it's timing, and I feel like the right idea and the right words, all timing, but sometimes it takes just about an hour or so, or, you know, it just flows and it just happens. And
it writes itself.
You don't want
to
change anything. You don't want... Yes, it does definitely write itself.
That's cool when that happens. Yeah, I think sometimes you can just toil and give up. And you might even find that song a year later and say, maybe I'll finish it. But yeah, the ones that you just sit down and go, oh yeah, stream of consciousness type of thing or something. That's cool.
Oh yeah, heck yeah. That's exactly what this one was about. And I was in Fort Worth. I originally recorded these songs in Fort Worth, and I went back into Austin to re-record some things. But when I was in Fort Worth, I was living there for a little bit while I was recording, and I wrote this, you know, I feel like I've always had an idea for this kind of song where there's a drive in it, and I think of everything, not just like, I think of lyrics, I think of the production part, and everything has to go together. And so I wanted something with a good drive, with the fiddle going on, like a lead fiddle, and then the little swells of the steel guitar, and then I'm thinking, okay, that's influencing me, that's romantic, okay, what's romantic, what don't I have right now? Okay, something to hold on to, to never let go, and in the future I want that. So that's pretty much what the song's about. I have being romantic with somebody and that one person, you know, finding that one person, and that's what it's about, holding on.
Oh gosh, yeah. You're a hopeless romantic. That's wonderful. You've got to be, you know. There's a lot of good things out there. You know, if you're around somebody that's funny, they can find something in the room that's funny. And if you want to find something lousy, that's out there too. But the romance thing, that's cool. You can just kind of grab something out of nothing and make a song out of it. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yes.
You wish everybody could do that. Maybe we'd all get along better.
Maybe, yeah.
Hold me.
love to have some of your other musician buddies on.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, that would be really great.
Music has been a huge part of my life, and I'm sure yours. And I really, really want to thank you for talking to me.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was really fun.
I wish you the best in the future. Stay in touch.
I will.
Someday down the road, we'll do another one.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. For sure. I'm going to let Michael Stover know, and you can schedule it again.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Madeline.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.